Hello, everyone. This is your elder call, which the elder call does not refer to age. It refers to no BS age. So it means if you've been here for a year or more, you can just raise your hand and you can get coached on whatever you want to get coached on. Let me get Coach Julie pulled up and let me get all my screens. So please make sure if you want to get coached, you got to raise your hand. You can't be just sitting there. There's a bunch of you here. All right, Patty, thank you. I was going to say, is not anybody going to get coached? All right. I'm going to promote you to panelist, Patty, and then you can come on. And we'll just get started. So don't forget, y'all, if you want coaching, you need to raise your hand. All right, Pam, let me get you unmuted. Let's get your video going. There you go. All right. What are we coaching on?
Holy crap. Now I know why people show up and go, how did this happen? Well, okay. So I'm going to try to be as succinct as I can. There's kind of a lot going on, but I'm like an OG elder.
Okay.
I've been with you for like 4 years.
All right.
And I originally lost 20 pounds out of the 45 that I needed to lose, which was a subset of the 80 that I lost originally starting back when I was a mere child.
Okay.
So I maintained like a large weight loss over my life by just changing my lifestyle, not eating things that I knew were harsh and hard for my body to deal with. Like gluten and things like that. So just over time, I just eliminated certain things. Anyway, so it left me with 45 pounds to lose as an adult. And I feel like routinely I've lost 20 pounds and gained 20 pounds.
Okay.
And I repeated that cycle over the 4 years with no BS.
Okay. Why do you think that is?
Oh, it's well, because I do the work inconsistently because I get distracted by life.
Because, like, what does that mean?
Well, it just means like recently, I'll just talk about recently because it's
yeah,
just,
I always talk about the recent.
It's a microcosm of the expanded view, right? So I worked at a large media news corporation for 20 years.
Okay.
I'm not even going to say which one. It wasn't Fox, though. Let me be clear.
It doesn't matter what it is. Like, literally, it could have been Tiddlywinks.
Yeah, anyway, it's just an odd touch point. But anyway, and I had a really successful career in media and graphics and creative project management. I decided to take a package and update my skill set and go more into digital media.
Okay.
Because I felt like I was too broadcast centric. It was a pretty ballsy thing for somebody in their late 50s to do. Okay. And I say that not because it was a bad thing, but because it's an industry filled with little bratty millennials running around. It's just,
but what does this have to do with your 20 pounds regaining? So far, I have heard zero that has to do with gaining 20 pounds. I've heard that. Well, you had a job, you changed careers, you did all these things. What's that got to do with gaining 20 pounds?
Because in the process of getting a job, I worried intensely about, could I make it? Am I too old? Do I know all the things? And then...
Okay, so tell me how that has anything to do with gaining 20 pounds. Because a lot of people worry and they don't gain weight.
The amount of cortisol and stress and lack of mind management and distraction that I allowed it to create put my weight goals secondary.
No, that's not what happened.
Okay, you're probably right.
I didn't like worry and it felt like shit, so I ate instead.
Yes, that's exactly.
Let's just summarize it that way. I like worry like. There's this cortisol and there's all these things and that allowed me to, you know, not prioritize things. That sounds lovely, except it's not the truth. It's the story you're telling to yourself that's not helping you solve the problem, which is when I worry, I eat instead of solving for my worry.
Yes, that is correct. And now I'm really worried because I just got laid off and now I'm 61 and having
to. What does that have to do with eating?
I'm just so nervous and anxious now.
Okay. Why don't we address the nervous and the anxiety instead of eating so that you don't have to spend the next 20 years of your life nervous and anxious that you're going to gain and lose 20 pounds over and over again. The more you tell yourself that the nervousness and the anxiety has to do with why you're eating, the more you set yourself up to need to solve with food. You've given yourself one solution for nerves and anxiety. It means I eat. It means I gain weight. You know what nerves and anxiety actually means? I have thoughts to work through.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean eat, because every time you eat, guess what you do? You don't solve your nerves and your anxiety. You set them aside until the food wears off, and then you're back to being nervous. You're like, well, I better eat again, because those nerves and that anxiety just keeps coming and bitch slapping me in the face.
Yeah. No, there's no question. And knowing that, because I also did Brooke's work for a long time before I started this program. And knowing that, I still haven't been successful at breaking it down.
Okay, what's got you nervous? Like, we know right now that you said 61.
Yeah.
Jesus. And what did you say? You're out of work, or did you?
I just got laid off.
So yeah. 61 and laid off. Okay. Tell me the sentence that's making you nervous or have anxiety. One sentence, you get one.
I'm entering a saturated tech field.
The tech field is saturated. Why is that a problem? If you're really good at tech, are you really good at tech?
No. I don't know.
Why are you going into something that you're not good at?
Because it's what I've been doing for the last X number of years. I don't know exactly what else I would do. I'm competent. I'm just not amazing.
Okay, so that's very different than I'm no good at it. Like, I just wanted you to see right there when we talk about anxiety, I'm entering a saturated field and I'm no good at it. How does that feel?
Oh, horrifying. It's so scary.
Okay. Now, if we just change one thing, which is let's just keep saturated field, which we can work on that in a minute too, but I'm entering a saturated field and I'm competent at tech. Now, how does that feel?
Not
horrifying.
It's not as horrifying. I tend to want to downplay my abilities. So it.
Why? Right? Why would you want to downplay? Well, tell Larry.
Because tech.
If we're not going to downplay it, tell me the truth of your abilities. You can go back to downplaying in 30 seconds, but for 30 seconds, I just want you to tell me the fucking truth about your capabilities. Because if you actually suck at tech, you know what my advice is?
Don't
look for a job in something you stink at. That would be like me trying to go and be a nun. Somebody hire me to be a nun. I mean, I like lots of sex and I cuss like a sailor and I love my wine, but you know, I'm going to enter the saturated field of nunnery.
The truth of the matter is that I'm a creative project manager in an industry that is now driven by technology. And so it's just a matter of how you keep up and where you focus your efforts and the kinds of teams that you lead. It's gotten so big and so broad and so technical that it's just hard to feel like you're accomplished in any one thing anymore, because now there's AI and before it was.
Yeah, but if you don't know AI, then you're not going to go to a company.
Well, but you might. You might, because it's emerging, right? It's an emerging.
Oh, I know. I'm an online business. I know, I'm trying to teach. Yeah. I'm actually teaching at my mastermind next week all the things that we do with AI.
So it's just, I'm in my 60s now trying to compete. And it didn't used to be this complicated to do my job. It's gotten very complicated.
Well, how can you make it easier though?
Well, relaxing a little bit and having a little more fun with it and breaking it down. Like I'm working on my resume now and yeah. I'm.
So when you break it down, what do you mean by breaking it down? Break down into what?
I mean, project managers don't have to be experts in their field. They have
no, my project manager's not.
They have to be an expert in leading people who are experts. And I get those conflated sometimes.
Okay, so your nerves and anxiety need you to, like, here's step one. Rather than thinking about it being so complex and everything, step one for you is don't conflate things when your brain wants to.
Right. Because it always leads down the same destructive, like,
yeah, like nightmare. Your job right now is to, when you want to go run to the kitchen because your brain is conflating things, like, I want you to think about this. Every time you go eat, because your brain is conflating things, you're not solving your real problem, which is figuring out how to figure out what you're really good at and then go out into the world and find companies that need those skills. Number two is learning how to sell yourself.
Oddly, I'm not bad at that. In fact, part of my problem is I can oversell myself and then I worry to get forward. But all that...
Wait, how can you oversell yourself?
I know this is going to sound a little weird, but when I'm in a job interview, I'm actually kind of confident and fun to talk to and can take conversations in interesting places and people do end up wanting to work with me.
Okay. How is that a bad thing? Like your brain is trying to make that a bad thing. That sounds amazing.
I worry that their expectations are maybe I don't understand the product or the technology enough to get them there. And that's when I conflate things.
I don't understand. Like you're going to like explain that to me, why that's nonsense. Because it doesn't make sense to me that if you sell yourself so well, that they, are you saying they actually want to hire you?
It's imposter syndrome. Yeah. It's imposter syndrome.
Okay. Throw away those big words. You don't.
I know. People hate that word.
It's not imposter syndrome. That's Freudian bullshit. We're not going to even go down that road. I want you to really think about this. You do really well in interviews. You have that skill. You also are going to not conflate things. You're really good at taking people who are experts and making sure that they can do their job. Right? Like that's your skill set is I take groups of people who aren't good at the planning and shit. And I'm the one that makes sure we all stay on track. Is that kind of what you do?
True. That is
what I do. All right. So we already know you're good at it. We already know where you need to hone in. We already know you know how to sell yourself. Now, if they hire you and you start thinking things like, you know, I don't know if I can do the job. Then again, we don't eat. We start thinking like, what am I unsure about in this job? Am I conflating things again? Or do I just need to take a breath and be like, what's really going on here? Your 20 pounds comes down to one thing. Two steps. Number one, tell me what it feels like in your body. How do you know when you are getting anxious and conflating things?
Oh, like right here, there's like this Brillo pad, this elastic Brillo pad starts taking all my nerves and just.
Tell me how it feels though, actually in your body. Like what physical symptoms?
Tight and from here to here.
From my neck to my sternum, pretty much.
From my neck to my sternum, it feels so tight.
Okay. Feels good and tight. What else? Does your heart race? Do you notice you're breathing more?
I stop breathing.
Okay. So I can't hardly, that's what happens to me. I always describe it to when I start getting anxious, I tell my coach, I start getting winded because I can't take deep breaths. I feel like I've got, somebody has put a straitjacket around my lungs.
Yeah. Okay.
So the good news is you're like me. You're just like me.
That's the best news I've heard all day.
This is the best news because this was the best news for me. I never have to go eat again because I know when I'm triggered. The moment all of that starts, I'm like, oh, this is a feeling problem. This is not a food problem, and this is not a real problem. This is me conflating things, worrying, panicking, thinking a lot of things that aren't true. That makes me feel like I am constricted from my neck to my sternum. When that's happening, that's my cue to tell myself, we do not have a problem right now that's real, nor can be solved by food. Step two. So we're going to, like, basically you already know, you've got step one unlocked. Step two is breathe. And so I promised this person, I was coaching in a different program. Well, I was coaching scholars the other day. This teacher comes on and I'm coaching her and we're talking about the same kind of shit. I was like, you know, you're going to need to regulate your nervous system. Like, you don't need to change your thoughts. You need to get so good at noticing when your nervous system is just like, it is checked out. It's like Elvis has left the building. And right. Now I got to bring Elvis back. He needs to do a second encore. So you take your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You start here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to breathe in. And when we get to the thumb, we breathe out. And then we breathe. We breathe out. And then another big one because we got our talking finger. And then we breathe out. And we do it again. And we breathe out. And we go up. And then we go down. And then we tell ourselves, do not need to eat right now. I don't even have to work on my, I know I'm just dealing with fear and anxiety. And I've already been coached on this, that a lot of it's made up. And even if I feel like shit, my only job is to breathe and not eat. And when I'm ready, if I want to think different, I can. But right now, my biggest job is to know whatever's going on is not solved in that kitchen. And that's the conversation and the nervous system regulation we want to be doing.
Yeah, I feel like my thoughts get away from me and I can't control my nervous system. And then I just...
You can control your nervous system. You do not need to have your thoughts do not have to stay with you. For all of you, I like to always think about it this way. Journaling, when we are in a regulated nervous system, like right now, you're doing oral journaling when you're coaching with me.
Mm-hmm.
We do it when we're ready to think through our fears and anxieties. We do it when our logical brain can have a very loving conversation with old shitty. When we are hijacked, when we are stressed, when our thoughts are running away, like the thoughts are just coming and coming and coming. Our job is not to try to outthink that. Our job is to calm the nervous system. Don't worry about the thoughts. All you need is to breathe. Breathing really regulates a nervous system. It grounds. There's a couple of other things you can do. You can stand. Some people do better when they stand versus sitting and trying to do their nervous system. You can do the breathing. And when you're done, you can imagine that there are roots growing out of your feet and grounding you to the ground. And you just kind of stand there and you just breathe and you just think, I just want to feel grounded right now. And so I'm going to imagine that roots are going through the floor and they're pulling my body to ground me in. Doing that means that the thoughts that are running away, when you're trying to breathe and you're trying to ground yourself, your brain can't hijack you at the same time. It has to switch focus to something else. And the brain sucks at doing two things at once.
Yeah.
That's why you've been like, instead of grounding and breathing, you're going to the kitchen. And that's distracting you from the runaway thoughts. All I want you to do is distract yourself from the runaway thoughts in a different way that doesn't have eating on the other side.
Yeah, I've gotten pretty practiced at that loop of stress. Then getting popcorn or getting something like that, and then coming back, and then avoidance, right? And then it's that whole loop. I just feel like I've just practiced that so much. And yeah, it's taken such a toll on me over the last year.
Yeah, that's why we're going to stop it.
Can you stop it? Like, is it, I know this is a crazy question. Just bear with me, but is it possible, Corinne, to literally hear this and hang up from this call and do those things and really disrupt that pattern and learn to stop it and start being more creative and productive in my approaches?
How did you learn to eat?
I was raised in a house with three brothers. And that was how I learned to cope with all of the anxiety and the upset. Yeah.
At some point you formed that loop. It wasn't natural. It wasn't like we weren't born to do it.
Feels like I was.
No, you weren't. You weren't born to have thoughts and anxieties and triggers and be like, you know what? Donuts, popcorn. That's the answer. At some point you did that. It felt good. So you kept it felt good. So you keep doing it. Now we just want to do something else that feels good so that your brain learns, oh, I want to do that. Like it feels good to actually breathe when I feel like I can't.
Yeah. Even being in the conversation I'm having, I like feel myself stopping breathing.
Mm-hmm. Only because you're driving up the anxiety of like, I don't think that I can change this. What is the harm in thinking? I am willing to try this until the day I die.
Well, apparently I am, because I've been in your program for 4 years and I'm still dealing with the same bullshit. I was in Brooke's program and then I focused it on your program and I'm still dealing with the exact same thing. Like I just
when feel you say like the exact same thing. What is that? What's the thing?
It's the microcosm of what we were talking about with work. It's the stress that I build up in my mind, the thoughts that I believe in, that think, feel, do cycle that I get stuck in, that I get hooked in a loop. And even though I try to
disassociate, you're hooked in the loop. I want you to just like, tell me how many times in the last 6 months you stopped, you breathed, you regulated your nervous system and you breathed until it was regulated. And you chose not to go eat, even if it meant breathing for an hour. How many times have you done that?
Oh, to that extent, maybe 3 times.
Yeah. And you're wondering, like, you're not hooked in a loop. You know what you are? Choosing not to interrupt it. You're interrupting your loop with food.
Doesn't feel like a choice in the moment. I know it is.
But it is.
But I know like, it is.
It's just the way you tell the story. I know how it feels in the moment. It doesn't feel like a choice, but does it help you to think of it that way?
No.
This is important for all of you. The way you, like, I know your shit feels true, but your stories drain you. And when you feel drained, you don't have energy to do anything new. So if you just switch the story a little, instead of being, I get hooked as if it's just happening to me. Like you sound like you're swimming in the ocean and we just threw a harpoon out and got you.
It feels a little bit like that.
Stop talking like that. Everything, when you say feels like that, how does that feel in your body?
Sad.
Yes. So stop telling a sad fucking story and then wondering why you don't do better.
Well, I add on the 61 part, and that's just like, well,
it doesn't matter. Do you know, I have 3 or 4 employees on my team who are in their 60s and they never knew how to do the things that they're doing, but this is what they do now. You know how they got the job? They weren't thinking about how old they were. You know what they were thinking about? How to interview well. Like your shifts are so small. I think you want like belief and all the big things. I just want you to say, like, I'm never going to, like, my age is going to just have to be irrelevant. Because when I talk about my age, I don't do it proudly. So I'm not allowed to talk about it anymore.
I mean, if I was in a job interview and you were legally allowed to ask me about my age.
Well, there's another thing. They can't even ask you about your age. You know who makes it a big deal?
Me.
Yes, you're going in like a 61-year-old woman who thinks she's washed up. And you're like, I don't know why I'm so worried about getting a job. I mean, I only identify as a washed up 61-year-old woman who's not as competent. It's very
confidence has nothing to do.
And I don't put myself out there.
Well, the confidence has nothing to do with 61. The confidence is just my life pattern. The 61 just feels like a little bit more of an added.
It's thing. Unnecessary. Like, I want you to think about how unnecessary talking about your age is.
It is.
Like, when you say I'm 61, that is never going to motivate you to go get a job. Now, some women in here, actually, they're like, I did my biggest career shift in my 60s. Like, to them, their age was not a factor.
Right.
So they could talk about their age all day because it didn't matter to them, but it matters to you. So don't talk about it. We can do thought work on it. Like, God, y'all, don't be like, you're not going to let her do thought work. If she wants to do thought work on that, that's fine. But if it was me, some stuff is just not worth doing thought work on. Huh. Like, you're 61. It has nothing to do with finding a job. So stop talking about it.
I think my preoccupation with details that don't empower me don't have anything to do with the details. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think it's just my ongoing habit of looking for the saber-toothed tigers and the poison and all the things that are going to kill me. Mm-hmm. And in this conversation, it so happens it's shrouded in, and there's age, and it's a saturated tech industry.
Yeah, your brain is looking for the danger. Your brain is actually functioning just fine, looking for all the danger. Where we're getting sidetracked is, as your brain looks for all the danger and does what it's supposed to be doing,
yes,
you're not looking for the other side too. You're not doing the equal airtime.
You're
not thanking your brain for, like, I get it. Like, these are all the things that absolutely could happen. But these are all the things that also could happen. Let me just ask you a bottom line question.
Yes.
Are you going to go look for a job or not?
Starting tomorrow, I have an interview.
So no matter what, you're going to be looking for a job.
Mm.
So you have two options. You can find a job 20 pounds heavier than you are now, riddled with anxiety, or you can go do the same thing that you're going to do tomorrow. You're going to start looking for a job tomorrow, and you can ground yourself, breathe through it, make sure you list every single day, here's what could go right. Here are the assets, and here's what I'm good at. You could make the process easier by doing those things and not eating and walk in 20 pounds down or 20 pounds up. It's just going to be up to you. That is where the choice is. I know in the moment when your brain is like, you feel like you don't have a choice, but at the end of the day, you're going to decide if you wake up in the morning and write about, here's what I'm good at. Here's all the things I don't need to worry about. Here's how I'm going to calm myself down every day. Then I'm going to write about, and don't forget that when your brain wants to leave the building like Elvis and you start feeling breathless, that's now the cue to breathe. That's now the cue to ground yourself. We're going to get better at regulating our nervous system while we find a job. That's what we're going to be doing. And if you want to talk about being 61, like, I'm 61 and thank God I learned how to do this. So when I'm 91, I'm not still suffering with it.
Yeah. If there are any additional resources that or coaching that that has focused on some of these methodologies. If Julie can post some of that, that would be amazing.
What methodologies are you talking about?
Just calming in the moment.
Oh my gosh, the now, like the there's module two. There's like you can play my voice walking you through how to calm your nervous system down in module two.
Okay.
The trusting your body. There's EFT, there's tapping, there's all kinds of things over there. There's meditations over there. Like we got all of it. But when you think, like, I'm just nervous and anxiety and I just eat and I'm hooked in a loop like a fish. Guess what you're not doing? I wonder if NoBS has resources on this.
And I feel like I do that a lot. And that's very frustrating for me to think that I cap off my potential and my awareness of my surroundings because I haven't learned that skill. And maybe it really is just as simple as my learning that skill.
It is.
Open up my brain.
Why would, like, and this is the other thing. Stop being frustrated because you don't know how to do this yet. So what? Like, that also gets you nowhere. Just be like, thank God I got coached today. I didn't even know this stuff.
Well, that's why.
I can't wait to spend the next 40 years of my life not dealing with this. A year from now, I'm going to be calm as a cuke.
And you can do that without having your coach and your best friend and being surrounded by 37 coaches every day.
First of all, I'm not surrounded by 37 coaches every day. Like, no one coaches me, but my coach, myself, my best friend does not coach me. We have an agreement. We don't coach each other hardly ever. We bitch, we moan, and we're friends. I'm not joking. We go through our like to-do list every day. I tell her all my, every now and then she'll like, do you know you just said this? We do not coach each other. That is like detrimental to a friendship. You like when you have, like for all of you who are coaches, you need a, if your coaches are friends, you don't need to be coaching each other because it will taint the relationship. It's really hard to draw. I don't coach Chris. I don't coach my mother. And I'm a great coach, but I don't do it because I need my people to sit around and be anxious around and cry, blame, whine, act like the victim. Like I need those people in my life. Here's the thing. When I lost 100 pounds, I didn't have a coach. I didn't go to coach school. This was 2007, 2005 to 7. You know what Corinne did? I did just like I teach y'all. Every day I got up and I told myself, be on the lookout for old Corinne thinking, because shit's changing now. And when I had my old thinking, I got real busy on thinking about, but how do I want to think? And when I got overwhelmed and stuff, I cried a lot because I used to not want to cry. I used to think it was a sign of weakness. Now I'll cry at the drop of a hat. I took a lot of naps, feeling guilty. I didn't have a coach. I didn't have a certificate. All I had was an extra 100 pounds toted on my ass. And I had to figure it out. So when y'all ask me like, can you really change, blah, 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 do not forget, I changed my life before I even knew what fucking coaching was. And I'd never read a self-help book a day in my life. Not one self-help book. So if I can do it with zero coaching, zero knowledge, podcasts weren't a thing that weren't even invented yet. I was losing my weight with a flip phone. I didn't even have apps like y'all have now. I like, you know, and I walked uphill twice.
Twice.
All the way there and all the way back.
While you were starving. Like, you
know, the only thing I didn't say was I lost my weight in the snow. That was, you know, but seriously, y'all have so much doubt and insecurity, and yet you have every fucking resource known to man now to lose weight. When I was losing weight, they didn't even have a weight loss menu in restaurants. You go to the convenience store, it's donuts, hot dogs, and pizza. Y'all got so much to help you now. And you're just like, I don't know. I doubt myself. It's a real problem.
Yeah, because there's not enough things outside of ourselves to change the issues that are inside of us.
There is. You don't What do you need outside of it? You know what you need? Well,
that's what I'm saying, is there's not enough. It's not what's outside. It's how we reflect inside.
Yes. That is the, like, you've just got to get better at listening to your shit.
I listen to it. I just can't detach from it. I can't separate emotionally.
How much journaling are you doing each day?
Oh, not enough. Like maybe 5 to 10 minutes, nothing.
I would journal more.
Oh, a lot more and a lot more consistently.
I would journal on a shitty thought every day. I mean, do you want to feel better?
I used to do eating and feeling bad. I used to do a thought download, and then I would pick a thought that I wanted to work on from the thought download. But then it just turned into this litany of complaints and like.
And I'd rather you complain on paper than to complain in your head all day. I don't care if it's a litany of complaints. I wish y'all could see some of my fucking journals. It's a litany of complaints. And then I just pick one. I'm like, all right, here's all the things you're bitching about today. Now, how do you want to show up today? What's the one that you can wiggle out of? Give yourself a win. But here's the thing. All of you from that last call that I did, fucking listen to your brain and then tell yourself the truth. Y'all are missing this part. Y'all are doing a lot of witnessing of what's going on in your brain sometimes. Some of you are not witnessing enough. Some of you are witnessing, but you're not doing what we call the actual work, which is when I hear old shitty, we have to dialogue. Look how happy he is. He's like, I'm here for you. I have fears and anxieties. I just want you to pay attention. Help me. This is what I'm worried about. And he's so happy. He's just like, I think I'm doing you a solid, bringing all this up to you. And you're like, oh my God, you got me hooked in a loop. You're so much worse. You should be here by now. Y'all are being a bitch. We need a bitch emoji. Because y'all are having a threesome. And I want y'all to be in a committed relationship. Old shitty, who's just trying to help. He's just like, I'm just worried. I think age is a problem. You're going, oh, it's not a problem. Our age is not a problem. That's something we're making up because we're just nervous we won't find a job. And it's like, oh, but like what if like all it's like the whole tech field is so much more advanced than you and everything is like, wow, and you're like, I know, but here's what I'm good at. We don't need to be good at all that other stuff. That's not even the job we're looking for. So you don't even need to worry about that. What? These two have to be in a committed relationship, which means when he has something to say, you have to say something back.
Yeah, I guess I forget what to say back that feels authentic and not like I'm just putting it a cloak of velvet and putting it on the, like,
so that is your thought work to do from now on. I want you to pick out a thought each day. And then I want you to find what we call the next best thought. When's the last time you listened to the No BS program?
It's been a minute.
When you say a minute, what does that mean?
A year. It's been okay. A year.
So you've missed every ounce of all the new teachings that I've done that talk all about your nervous system. They talk all about how to ground yourself. That's all in the course now.
Well, that's what I said, right? I've been so stressed and upset that I've shut down.
Okay. This week, I want you to listen to every video. You got to, like, you're laid off. What else are you going to do?
Well, I'm actually working through July, but yes.
Okay. Then when you're like,
in but I can still do it. I have plenty of time.
Okay. I want you to listen because a lot of what I'm talking about in here, we redid the entire program in October and April of this year.
Yeah.
So you've missed the best part, which is we integrated all of this stuff about how to listen to your thoughts more, how to have a dialogue more, how to calm your nervous system down. We put all of that in now. So I want you to go back through that. Okay.
Okay. I will do that.
All right. I think you're going to find a job. I just don't want you to find a job 20 pounds heavier. It's not necessary. No.
And that's why I'm here, because I see that as the trajectory if I don't calm down.
Exactly.
What I needed coaching on.
All right. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right.
I'll let you know when I get a job.
All right. I will be looking forward to it. Bye.
Bye for now.
Kristen? Okay. I'm going to tell all of you elders, because there's about 13 of you, I think, with your hand raised somewhere along those lines. We're not going to get to 13 people in an hour, but here's what you can do. A lot of you, if you have your hand raised, put it down if you're unwilling to take whatever you have to ask coaches. Whatever you think that I'm going to help you with, if you're not willing to take it to ask coaches, don't bring it to me either. That is why you have this program. I've got baller fucking coaches that I personally trained. I've worked with them this last 6 months. They can help you. So if you won't go to ask coaches, don't come to a coaching call for all of you, because I'm just telling you right now, you owe it to yourselves to get coached by coaches, and you have 24/7 access to that. There's no reason not to do it. All right. Kristen, your turn.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So I have been in a regain for slowly last fall, and getting into at the first of the year, I was about 10 pounds up. Mm-hmm. And now I'm about another 8 up from that. I mean, granted, we went to Disney World last week, so I'm up because of the swelling and yada yada. But so that puts me about 20 up from my lowest. Okay. I've done the Regain solution, and I'm really trying to like be better about my journaling, but I just, this like recurring thought of like, I just can't get shit together. Like, it's just over and over and over. You know what I mean? Like every day I wake up. What does getting
together even mean?
So like, I plan every single day. I assess every single day. I track how much I've been tracking my overeats. I've been tracking, you know, I know you hate it when people say this, but like, I'm really doing the things.
You're good. No, you're not. If you have overeats.
Cause, right.
Everybody hear me when I say this. I'm not expecting y'all to be perfect, but when you want to insist you're doing all the things for weight loss, because when y'all say doing all the things, you mean I'm doing all the things to lose weight. You're not if you're overeating. Because there's no way to have overeats if you're waiting for hunger and stopping at enough. It's an impossible formula. Right? So yeah. Rather than saying, I'm doing all things, because when y'all say I'm doing all things, everybody feels frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a helpful thought and it's not true. The truth is, here are the things I'm doing and I'm noticing I have overeats. I wonder what that's about. I wonder how I can just solve for those. Mm-hmm. Weight loss is on the other side of that. Notice how the way I talk about it invites a solution. When we're like, I can't get my shit together. I'm doing all the things. There's no solution at the end of that. There's just frustration. You're probably just going to be like, and here I am overeating again and doing all the things. So,
yeah. And it's like, I'm just to be 100% honest with you, I just avoid my discovery worksheets because yes, I'm just
not doing all the things. Oh my God.
No.
Like, you need to like, old shitty's like, girl, we're doing all the things. It sucks that we are not losing weight. And you got to bring this guy like, oh, I think you're mistaken. I believe part of the program is discovery worksheet. When we solve for our overeats, we lose weight. And all she's like, what? I thought all I had to do is write down the shit I want to eat on a piece of paper and my weight would just fall off. No, that's not part of the program.
Yeah.
Y'all crack me up. And you just told on yourself. You're like, I'm doing all right. I know you hate it when I say it, but what's the fucking point?
What's the point in coming on a coaching call and not telling you what the truth is? It's a waste of my time and a waste of your time.
Yeah. So I just handed you your truth. Your truth is need to do discovery worksheets. Mm-hmm. And that will tell me all the things I need to be doing.
I just find on my discovery worksheets, it's a lot of like the same stuff over and over again. Like I have a hard time leveling them. But like
I go to my job every day and do the same shit. I should quit. Don't you want to get paid?
But it's like all of the same excuses. You know what I mean? And like, I write all the same stuff every single time. Like I'm having a hard time.
Okay, so then here we go.
Leveling up.
We're not doing all the things. Corinne has said that when you write the same shit over and over again, you get to write it 3 times. And after the third time, if you haven't changed, you got to have new solutions. You got to have new thoughts. You got to try new things. Because if 3 times of doing a discovery worksheet, like I said this, and I tried this thought, and every day I'm like, I'm going to try that thought again. I'm going to try this thing again. After 3 times, new idea, new thought. Take it to Ask Coaches. Obviously, I'm not able to crack it. I bet they can. How many times have you done that?
None.
No, I'm being hard on you because your brain is being hard on you.
Yeah.
And if we're going to be hard on you, let's not do it self-loathing. Let's be hard on you by highlighting every single thing you could be doing for yourself to unlock this code.
Yeah.
So tell me your keen ding dong excuse that you've repeated over and over again on your discovery worksheet.
Oh, it's one of your favorites.
I can't wait to hear it.
I just want it.
All right. When do we use that the most? It's so sexy. When do you use it the most?
Usually probably an after work snack I haven't planned. Like, but I'm actually hungry. I really am hungry. And Corinne says when I'm hungry, I should eat. You know?
Yeah, you should, but it has to be on your plan. If not, guess what you're asking us to do? Snack. You get to snack on that ass.
Yeah. And then it's, or like snacking, like today, you know, I'm home and off work. And
now let's go to the one. Like, here's what I want you to do. I want to work through one. I just want it recurring pattern. Let's work through it. Let's not like, and then this time, and this time, and this time. Mm-hmm. If you watched my last call, there's a lead domino. We only work on one. We solve that. And then every I just want it after that just gets easier and easier. So we just have to pick one place to work. When is your one where, Corinne, this is the most frequent offender? I just want myself at this time or with this food most often.
I would say it's either like I just want it or I didn't want to stop.
Which one are you working on though? You only get one.
I think I just want it. It's like one of my biggest offenders.
All right. I just want it. And when is it happening the most often?
Yesterday.
Okay. Yesterday. Let's just break down yesterday. Mm-hmm. What time was it?
It was after dinner.
After dinner. What did you eat? What did you just want?
I wanted a milkshake.
Milkshake.
My husband wanted to take the kids to go get ice cream. And so we went to go get ice cream and I thought, this is not my plan. Could I get better best this, right? Like, could I have just a scoop of ice cream instead of a whole milkshake? Could I do frozen yogurt instead? Like, if I'm going to eat off plan.
Could I not have anything? Because I didn't plan it. I'll do that next time.
And it kind of just came down to like, I was like, well, I could just not have anything because I'm not even hungry right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was like,
just do that.
Because the constant conversation back and forth led me to, I'll just deal with this later.
Okay. That was the give up thought. But let me ask you, why did you just want that milkshake? Like, what was that going to do for you in that moment?
it was going to give me connection with my family because they were eating ice cream. And I thought that.
Tell me exactly how sucking on a milkshake provides connection.
Because when you're all eating together and at the same time, then you have, you know, like that's when you're connecting. And there's no reason why I couldn't just sit there.
Tell me how the family bond, like what does connection even mean to you, first of all?
Just engaged in the conversation and all just like talking and enjoying each other's time.
So unless you're sucking on a milkshake, you can't talk to them and listen to them.
Yeah. I mean, like from that perspective, it sounds stupid that I needed to have the milkshake to be able to do that. Cause I couldn't sat there.
Self-loathe. We're not talking about that. It sounds stupid. We're trying to raise awareness that your brain thought, if I have a milkshake, now I'm connecting.
Mm-hmm.
All that happened was I had a milkshake. I could have connected because if my definition of connection is talking and engagement, that has nothing to do with a milkshake. I'm just mm-hmm. wrong about that. And I need to know that for the future because there's going to be other times where I'm going to be with my family and my brain's going to say, I just want it. When what it's really saying is, what I really want is I want to connect with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to remind myself that doesn't have to do with what I'm putting in my mouth.
Yeah.
Tell me all the lovely thoughts you had about your children while you were drinking your milkshake, or were you just like, this is good?
Mm-hmm. I wasn't really even focused on them. I was thinking about other things.
Oh, what were you thinking about?
About like, kind of like in self-loathing land, like, I shouldn't be doing this right now. This is gonna make me feel like shit later. I know this is gonna make my stomach hurt. You know,
so you were disconnected. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of good to know, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That when you go out with your family and your brain says, "I just want it," it's really saying, "What I really want is I want connection." But when you're arguing, like this is what's happening. You want to go out and you want to have a good time and you want to feel connected. Like you, in your mind, you're probably thinking, "We're a family. We're doing this and it's like I just want to have fun and stuff." But when you're sitting there negotiating, well, I could just have a scoop or I could just do this and I could do that, instead of being like, it's binary. I did not plan a milkshake. I don't need anything. But I do want to be connected. And when I'm negotiating, I'm disconnected. Mm-hmm. Then because I'm so disconnected because of my negotiations, I'm just like, fuck it. We'll do better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm drinking my milkshake, which I was hoping would connect me to my family because I keep telling, I paint this pretty picture. It's like, oh, well, we're together. I'm just sitting there self-loathing. Holy shit. I just had a huge discovery. Connection does not have to do anything with the damn milkshake. If I want to be connected, I actually have to pay attention to what my kids are saying. I have to be present. I can't be obsessing about food. I can't be obsessing about what I should and shouldn't be eating. Like if I actually want to be connected to my family, that requires listening to them and saying, we don't do food talk right now. This is family time. If that's what you really want.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you really want? Or is your family so fucking annoying that you want to suck a milkshake down and not pay attention?
No.
Because for some of you, that is the truth. I just coached someone earlier about coming home and what she really wants is to relax. And then her list of things to relax was a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
What she really wants is to scroll her fucking phone for an hour. You know why? The last thing she wants to do is talk to her children for an hour. She worked 10 hours. And mm-hmm. it's like, tell the truth. Don't tell yourself you should be doing something that you don't really want to be doing. It just feels gross. And for you, if you really want connection, that's not going to come from a milkshake. It's going to come from you saying, we don't entertain ice cream talk. We're here for our family. And here's the good news. I'm going to pay attention to them. And I'm going to have to shut down ice cream talk. But you know what I'm not going to have to shut down? Self-loathing in an hour. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to have to wake up tomorrow wondering why I can't get my shit together anymore. And I don't have to do a discovery workshop. I don't like doing them anyway. And I'm going to save myself some trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what are your thoughts? What's going through your head?
Just like, so a few weeks ago, I was like, I was getting back into my journaling and working on like speaking nicer to myself and stuff like that. And in that 2 week time frame, one of my accountability partners, she challenged me not to weigh myself because she's like, I think the scale is a point of contention with you. Like, I think you're beating yourself up over the scale every single day. Okay. And she's like, so I challenge you to do all this work and do your discovery worksheets, do your journaling, do all the things, right? And do not weigh yourself for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I did it. And at the end of the 2 weeks, I did not lose a single, not even 0.1.
Okay. Yeah,
and
because you're off eating, overeating, or eating off plan. Like, remember, y'all, making your plan, doing your discovery worksheets, all that does is give you awareness and decisions made. Unless you're following through with that stuff, you're not going to lose weight. You're giving yourself a chance to lose weight. You're setting yourself up for the potential for losing weight, but doing paperwork, all of you, please hear me when I say this, paperwork doesn't equal weight loss. Paperwork makes the decisions, outlines the plan, the follow through equals the weight loss.
Okay. No, that makes sense. I just, like, when I think back to those 2 weeks, I really felt like I was following through, and you know what I mean? Like, this just recurring.
How many overeat? Do you have your habit tracker?
It's all on my iPad. So I'm scared if I get out of Zoom, it's going to get mad at me.
If you had to guess during those 2 weeks where you did the planning and I applaud you. That's good stuff. Like, if I could get everybody to at least get to where you're at, to where they're actually doing this stuff, where we have something to work with, that's easier to lose weight than it is to come in and be like, I'm doing nothing. Help me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had to guess over the last 2 weeks, did you ever eat when you weren't hungry? Because you said, I just want it's happening. So obviously we have overeats and off-plan eats coming into play.
Mm-hmm.
Because even that milkshake you had last night, not only was it off plan, but you weren't hungry for it too.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean you did something bad. It means, oh, now I know why the scale's not moving down.
Mm-hmm.
It's the, like, I've got to clean up the off plan eats, especially if I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
And I've got like two reasons not to do it.
Well, in my big over like the steady gain from last fall, that was like this 8 or 10 pounds from last fall, that I noticed was the overeats on the weekends that would put you 2, 2.5 pounds up on Monday morning.
Yeah.
I was still overeating enough during the week to where that 2, 2.5 pounds would come off to maybe a pound, pound and a half. And then, okay, well, I'm up a pound. It's okay. Yeah. Like, we'll figure it out or whatever.
Like, you're all and, like, worried about the mechanics of all that instead of being like, man, I wonder what I could do to make sure that on the weekends, I'm eating a little bit less. I've identified that if I'm gaining like 2, 2.5 pounds every weekend, oh, what's going on there?
Mm-hmm.
What do I most need? What excuses do I need to listen for? And what are they trying to give me? Like, I just want it was saying, I just want ice cream. It said, I just want connection. And it's really hard for me to connect when you're negotiating food and thinking about what you should and shouldn't eat and like rifling through the 1,000 options you can do to break your plan to the point you exhaust yourself and you have to disconnect from everyone. So now we're going to order the milkshake. And now, like, I just want it has turned into, I really didn't want all that self-loathing. Mm-hmm. So I want you to think about, for you, you might want to do some journaling on what is, like, look at your, like, every single time you do, I just want it. What is it that you really want in those moments? We've already identified one. Like, don't, all of you, I just want it. Never believe that it's the food. There's always a feeling. And one way that you can hack that is, like, I just want this milkshake because then I can connect with my family. So what I really want is, I want connection. And then that's what you can break down on your discovery worksheets and stuff. It's like, I was really seeking connection. Why, like, how is food not providing that? What really is connecting? Like, asking yourself about that. Cause like, I want you to rewatch this just for the part where you just threw out there, well, of course I had the milkshake because, you know, we're all having ice cream. That's connection. You mm-hmm. said it as if that's just like how things work. It's like, don't forget that feelings do not come from ice cream. Feelings come from where?
Your thoughts.
Our thoughts. And not one time last night did you even feel connected.
No. And I think another part of it that I thought about was like, well, everyone else is doing it. You know, like, I don't want to make anybody else feel bad because I'm the weirdo sitting there not eating, you know.
How old are your kids?
Oh, they're 6 and 4. They could care less what I do.
Exactly. That's why, like, when your brain, like, notice how, like, when your brain says things and you're saying it like, well, I didn't want to make people feel bad. Because until I asked you how old they were, you were kind of believing that that's like a thing that can happen.
Yeah.
No 6 or 4-year-old is sitting there feeling bad that mommy's not having a milkshake. They're like,
no, and
hey, we're having milkshakes. That's what they're thinking.
I mean, and I know it would have like prompted a question for my 6-year-old. She probably would have been like, why is mommy not eating ice cream when we all are eating ice cream? Right.
What could you have just said in that moment?
And in that moment, because I'm really working with trying to, like, with the kids listening to their body, I know I could have just said, I'm just not hungry right now. Like, yeah. Through the breeze, right?
You could have just said, I'm not hungry and I'm just enjoying being with you. So that you can teach your kids that food and connection have nothing to do with each other. Because at their age, you have to tell them that stuff. But if the only time that your family actually talks, it's like my family. This was a hard one for me to unwind. Because growing up, we were so broke. My mother worked so many jobs. You will not believe how many jobs my mother would work. And we'd be sitting at a restaurant or in the drive-thru, in the car eating. And it was the only time I got to spend with my mother. Otherwise, I was at babysitters. Or my brother and I were just left alone. Mm-hmm. So as a child, I made the connection that meals are when we are, it's family time. Mm-hmm. This is when we connect. Because no one ever told me that that wasn't true. So we want to make sure that for children, like, these are the important values that we can pass down to them. Like, I'm not hungry. I am sitting here just enjoying being with you. And then they start internalizing, like, oh, I don't have to eat to not make someone feel bad. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. No, totally. And I think it all comes back to, like, when I first started in OBS, I used to think, I just want it. And then I would counter with, like, something that you said probably the first week I was in OBS, which was, sometimes what you want in the moment will not always align with what your goals are.
Yeah.
And, like, that was the conversation back, and that ended. Right. And so I need to get back to
fire that one back up.
And that needs to be fired back up, right? Because I also have this thought of, like, I'm 2 years in. I'm fine. Like, no, the scale tells me I'm 20 pounds up and things are not fine.
Right. I'm overeating for reasons. I want to know what the reasons are and start untangling them. Because, like, this one's a big one. I'm overeating to not hurt people's feelings. I'm overeating to connect. I'm forgetting about what real connection is. I'm missing out on opportunities to teach my kids a whole different way to think about food. I'm missing my opportunity to change the generation after me. Let's not miss all that simply because we don't want to look at our discovery worksheets. I don't want you missing out on all that. That probably is not aligning with your goals either.
Right.
Okay. Right. All right. Thank you. That's actually really, I'm so glad you brought this up because we've needed a really good coaching session around connection for a long time. And I feel like this session really explained it in a way that I haven't explained it before. So I appreciate you bringing it, Kristen.
No, I just thank you so much for calling me on stage today. And thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Good luck. Give them girls a hug.
I will. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Julie, I want to coach at least one or two more. And so if you need to go, Julie, I know that, don't worry about staying. I can man my Q&A and stuff, but, and anybody else if my coaches can't stay, cause I know that y'all are committed to certain times, feel free to just like peace out if you need to. I will go at 2. Okay. All right. Julie's got a private at 2. All right. Perfect. Laura Gary, haven't called on you in forever. Let's do it. I may only get to Laura, y'all, but I didn't want to just only do 2 people. So y'all know me. All the other coaches are faster than Corinne. Corinne's the slow one. I need to teach myself how to do things in 15 minutes. All right, Laura, what are we coaching on, sweetie?
Just kind of the same thing I would say. OG, obviously, been here forever, feeling like I've gained all of my weight back.
Okay.
And feeling like, you know, trying to talk myself off the ledge.
Well, what is the story that you're telling yourself about, like, I mean, we can coach. I'm going to give you 2 options. And this is always for all of you. We can always coach and repair the relationship you have with yourself if you've had a regain. And that is very important. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just are like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just ready to start. Like, I am ready to let it go. This is over and done with. I'm ready for the next phase. And I just want to be future focused right now. That works only if you can let it go. If you can't let go of the shame and judgment over a regain, then you should not try to get future focused because you'll be trying to lose weight while thinking this shouldn't have happened. This sucks. You have to do it over again. Like you'll just introduce too much shitty thoughts.
Okay. So that being said, what resonated with me when you said that is that I have really been working on radical acceptance of this is just where I am right now. Almost as if when I first found no BS, you know, there was times when I would say, well, I wish I had found this sooner. I wish I hadn't. I go, no, this is just where I'm at right now. And so getting a radical acceptance on that and really working on not saying that I'm starting over or I've lost everything because I do feel like I have gained so much. And then the mental weight is still off. There is a small amount of portion of shame and a little regret and, you know, what if I hadn't or whatnot, but I do feel like it's pretty small because I've gained so much and I'm so grateful for everything that I've learned.
Let's do this just for the little bit of shame and regret that's there. Mm-hmm. What do you want to think about yourself? Like, how can we have a compassionate relationship for that little piece? Like when it comes up, because I think it's normal. It would be really hard in this society where, you know, so much of like who you are and the kind of person you are all hangs on, you know, the size of your pants and what you weigh. It would be very easy for us to have like moments of shame and regret and that kind of stuff. I'm gonna have to try to clear this up. I think my thing is fuzzy. But in those moments, what do you want to tell yourself when that happens?
I just want to say that it's okay. I want to say that it's okay without giving my
what is
the weight gain, that the weight gain is okay, and that
why is it okay?
Because sometimes life happens, and sometimes you fall back to old habits, and I think my painful thought is like, I just thought I would be past this by now, or I thought I wouldn't revert back to. But I mean that hasn't been the case.
You were just wrong. That doesn't like this is what I want all of you to think about is like, I'm the same. So I've lost my weight. If I gained like 30 pounds, let's say I gained 30 pounds. And can y'all imagine how hard that would be on me? I mean, I built a business off this shit. So if I regained weight, I can't even imagine what my brain would go fantastic on it. But you know, sometimes it does happen. And sometimes it's the best we could do.
Right.
You know, like I just want all of us to think about this. If you regain some weight, we will sit and say some of the meanest things to ourselves as if we were out murdering small children. You ate food and you probably were stressed. Maybe you were dealing with something. You felt bad, whatever it is. Sometimes what happens in our life is enough of the right circumstances come at us and our brains just flip out. They're like, I really don't know what to do with this. I really know how to eat healthy. I really know how to lose weight when all of this is happening. But this unique combination has really fucked up with like my brain. And it's like, let me go to the archives. What's worked in the past? Eating. So it starts offering that as a solution to help you probably.
Right.
So it's not a bad thing. It's just what happened. And now you just want something different for yourself. Now you're like, I'm coming out of it. I've regained my weight. And I'm ready to put habits back into place. I'm ready to do these next level things. I'm ready to feel a little bit better, not because I'm ashamed of myself. I'm ready to feel better because I'm ready to take better care of myself emotionally, health-wise, whatever that is. So what is it that, like, tell me what it is you want.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm really ready to feel better. I'm ready to get back to having my own back. I feel like that's what I've lost the most, and that that's
so
maybe where my
disappointment is. This week, tell me what having my own back would look like this week.
Making a plan and being realistic on what I'm going to eat.
Okay, a realistic plan, that's always a good start. Versus, I guess, fantasy land. So we're going to make a realistic plan. So we're going to do a doable plan.
Yes.
And when you think about, I am going to make a doable plan, and it is literally going to be, and it's going to be realistic. What are your thoughts about doing that?
It's pretty easy. I can do that. Like, I can be honest with myself.
Okay. So you don't have any hesitations or like, that's not good enough, or you don't have any of those judgy thoughts popping in on it?
When I'm making it, not really when I'm making it, I genuinely go, yeah, this, you know, I usually look at it. I ask myself, is this gonna, and I kind of think about my day. Mm-hmm. I'm usually a solid 8 when I make it.
Okay. Are you already doing it and it's not working?
I'm doing it. I'm making the plan. Yeah. I'm making the plan. What I feel like I'm stopping on or not is am I hungry and eating for other emotional reasons, or
so
just not following the plan?
So
yeah. And then right. Okay. Or eating on the plan when I'm not hungry.
Okay. So
on plan,
we already have this unlocked. We feel like we could follow it. Why are we eating when we're not hungry? Because that's going to be next. I think the next step is like, all right, I'm going to make a plan every day. I have a good relationship with it. That's on lock. Mm-hmm. Now, the next step is, how do I only eat when I'm hungry? Why are we eating when we're not hungry right now?
Either stress or tired.
Tell me how stress and tired equals eating when you're not hungry.
By choosing it, by making the choice to like I'll acknowledge I'm really stressed out over something.
Okay. So are you choosing to eat instead of thinking about how can I calm myself down? What are you really needing in your stressed out moments?
I don't know, needing a break, needing a break from my thoughts. Like when I'm stressing out, I'm usually stressing out over work and I'm just kind of freaking out and berating myself on work.
Okay. So you need to be doing more, probably journaling. I already know how to do this. I think you've got to start journaling on whatever's stressing you out. You said berating yourself.
Yeah.
So you need to journal on what's wrong with me and why is that not true? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I have been doing that some as far as journaling enough to just like get the shitties out of, just like get it all out on paper and then to answer, but is this really true or what else could be possible? And doing that. And that helps me, it helps me a little bit in the moment. It keeps me from going to like the break room in that moment for relief and just understanding like if I'm journaling, I wish I had my journal with me. If I'm journaling about work and doing the stuff and then what else could be true. And then even taking action, what are a few things that you can do right now that will get you out of overwhelm and into action and having a list. Usually it's just work related. It's, you know, taking care of this, doing this, you know, just knocking off things with work.
Okay. I think
by the end of the day, it's not helping me.
Let me tell you the problem before I forget the problem.
Okay.
You're not stressed out because of work. You think you're stressed out because of work. You're stressed out because you're berating yourself. And you're trying to solve berating yourself with putting more work on you.
Okay.
Wait. This is really important.
Yeah. Because I can see it. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Stressed. And the facts are the work. That can't stress you until you have thoughts like, what is one of your berating thoughts?
I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do. I don't know. Yeah.
What do you make it mean that there are moments where you're just like, I don't know what I'm doing here?
Yeah. That I'm not good enough, that I shouldn't be here, that ridiculous they even hired me for this job.
So I'm not good enough.
Right.
Okay. So I want you to see this connection. You're trying to say like, all right, I'm not good enough. I'm stressed out. So one of the things that I've given myself to solve, I'm not good enough, is a list of things to do for work.
Right.
When we need to have a list, like we need to work harder on our self-concept. Like you've got to, I guarantee you, you will lose weight if you continue to make your plan, but every day, you're not journaling about why you're stressed about work. You're journaling about what am I making all of this mean about me? How am I berating myself? Where am I not believing in myself? What are the crappy thoughts I have about me? Those are the ones I want you to get out. I don't want you journaling about work anymore. Because if you thought like, this is the thing, right? Like, God, y'all. Like the vast amount of people who ask me questions, who need my help, the tasks. I've got multiple people who just try to keep me organized. Multiple people, not one, multiples. I'm caught, like, hell, I just told Julie, I was like, you know, Yasmin and MJ are off. We want to do this thing. They're not going to be back for 2 weeks. Make sure when they get back that you remind me, because I'm always like having to leave these breadcrumbs, right?
Right.
But here's the difference between me and you. I'm not berating myself.
Right.
About work. So I don't feel stressed about thousands of inputs and outputs and, you know, like all the different things that are going on at one time across three companies. So I don't have to worry about this.
Yeah.
Because I'm feeling most days doable, willing, competent. Notice I didn't say baller and amazing and all this other stuff. No, right. I have worked really hard on knowing I get shit done. I will figure this out. Rather than thinking I'm not good enough, I'm always like, I'm going to figure this out. I'll prioritize if I have to. There's always an answer. And like, how long have you had this job?
I travel with work and I go to different jobs and different things. This is another management. Like this one is management. I've been in it for like 5 months.
Okay. So you do know what you're doing or they would have already fired you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do work on, like, I'm showing up, I'm supporting my team, I'm making mistakes and I'm fixing my mistakes. Like but even that is probably still putting stress on myself. I mean, I feel like I'm being, I don't know. I feel like I'm being honest with myself that I don't know everything and I'm, you know, owning that I'm making mistakes and that I'm fixing them and I'm just on repeat. But yeah. And I do tell people, remind me about that. Send me an email about that, please. Like I do that, but I make it means because I don't know what I'm doing and because I can't.
Or I don't know, you're just really good at outsourcing shit you don't need to be thinking about.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not going to spend the next 2 weeks thinking about this one thing Julie slacked me about. I'm like, oh my God, I better hang on to this. Like, no, I'm like, hey, you remind me. And I just think that's smart.
Yeah.
It's also easier. Yeah.
So I'm berating myself and then I'm my solve on the berating is giving myself a list of things to do. That's hilarious. Okay.
Yeah. That's how I'm going to fix my self concept. More to-do items.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So journal about why I am capable, why I am, or journal about,
I want you to do is I want you to do a laundry list of everything your automatic brain thinks is wrong with you right now when it comes to work.
Okay.
And we want to do that with compassion. Like, I just want to know, like, what is the shade of which my brain thinks, knowing it's all normal. I've not been really challenging it. I've been trying to solve it with more things to do. I've been trying to solve it with eating. I've tried a couple things. I really want to know, what do I think about myself?
Okay.
And it's probably not going to be pretty. But it doesn't matter. Like, it's not a bad thing if it's not pretty. It's a loving, compassionate thing to discover what your own self-concept is. Because in order to create the self-concept for anyone, in order to create the self-concept that you want, you have to know where you're starting. You have to know what you want to change. You have to know where, like, you'll see stuff and you'll be like, okay, here's the easy ones that, okay, these are not true. I'm just bitching and moaning now. Now I'm just dogpiling.
Okay.
Then some of them are going to feel visceral, like feeling my core. this is who I am, that kind of stuff. Start with your visceral ones and be like, now the challenge is to figure out what are little things that are also true that are just a little bit better.
Right.
So keep making your plans.
Yes.
And then I want you to do this journaling. And then the only thing I want you to work on for the next few weeks is no more eating because of work.
Okay.
Like, just make an agreement with yourself. I can be stressed. I can be hard on myself. I can do anything I want, but I'm not going to eat because I really want to get to know myself, because all that journaling you're going to do is going to be helpful. But in the moment, if you eat, you're not allowing your brain to have enough space to access what you've been working on. The journaling is not to remove those thoughts in the moment. The journaling is so that when those thoughts get triggered and activated and you don't eat, your brain has to now scramble for a new solution. The longer you go without food, your brain is just like, I got to feel better. I got to feel better. I got to feel better. If she's not going to eat, if she's not going to eat, oh, wait, she's been journaling the shit. Maybe I'll throw up one of those thoughts.
Okay.
Because that's what your brain's really wanting.
Right.
To feel better.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
My friend, okay. I'm glad you raised your hand. I'm glad you got me coached too. Today.
I know, me too.
Anybody in this membership, if I was to make a top 10 list of people that I have no doubts can figure their shit out, Laura Gary, you would be on the list.
Thank you.
I do.
This is the first time I've really cried with you, lady.
I know. I made it to the fucking last person. I swore I wasn't crying today because I didn't want to mess up my good looking makeup. It was shame. I was actually going to take some selfies later.
Well,
everybody's like, we need fresh selfies for the gram. All right. I believe in you. Just believe in
you.
Thank you. And then post in whatever group, like which groups do you belong to?
I will. I'm in a bunch of them, but I haven't been very active, but in the main group for sure.
I will post in the main group. I always see the main group.
Okay.
And if you don't have to do it all the time, but please keep tabs, like just post and tag me. Okay. I read my tags. All righty.
Okay.
All right. I love you.
Thank you.
Alrighty. Bye.
I love you.
Okay, y'all. I'm going to have to go on that high note. I'm starting to get emotional. I gotta pee. I haven't had lunch. Thank you so much, elders. I hope y'all got a lot of benefit out of this call. We are doing these every month for y'all now. We also have some other things that we're going to be doing later this year. Never fear, my dears. I hope y'all notice that we're trying to, like, we changed the newsletter. We are up-leveling our accountability program. There's so many exciting things that we're doing for the membership this year, and it's just going to get better. So for all of you who've been with me forever, I so appreciate you. And let's just keep working on things. Please, please don't sit there and you have been here a while. Don't use it against yourself. Use it as a strength. I still believe in I wouldn't be here if I didn't still have a small part of me that believes in myself. I wouldn't be here if I didn't think at some level that I literally can do it. And for a lot of you, you're here because, like, you keep forgetting how much of your life is better. And let's just take all that and focus it on the weight loss, okay? There's never a good excuse for beating yourself up. And I watch my elders do it too often. I watch y'all use being here for a long time against yourself instead of for yourself. So if you want a journaling exercise, how can I use being a member of No BS for however long I've been here as supporting evidence of how committed I am, of how I am very committed to my brain is going to change. And my outlook on my life is going to change. Like, I'm really committed to something bigger. And I want to lose weight too, but I'm committed to the whole enchilada, as they say. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.